Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament. We're going to go to chapter 7 and read three short little verses. Matthew chapter 7, if you don't have your own Bible with you, we have Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. I read out of an NIV translation here. I believe our Pew Bible is going to be King James. Maybe different words, but the same thoughts. Matthew chapter 7. Starting with verse number 21. You have your place? Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning with these three verses. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let's pray. Father, as we meditate on these three verses from your word, Father, how are these three verses going to change us today? Is there something we need to do different? How do we grow from this, Lord? Father, I pray that the words that I'm about to speak will be pleasing to you. And I pray that your scripture changes hearts today. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just needed to get a quick drink of water. As we go through life, there are situations that are going to happen to us that are going to come as a surprise. It is the unexpected. We plan for one thing to happen and find out that something else happens instead. Let me give you two examples. I believe many people in the United States of America were surprised to wake up on Wednesday morning, November the 9th, 2016, and find out that Donald Trump had beaten Hillary Clinton for the office of President of the United States. I'm sure these people were asking, how could this have ever happened? This wasn't supposed to happen. Or how many people were stunned when they woke up on the morning of April the 15th, 1912, to read in the newspapers that the unsinkable ship, the RMS Titanic, had struck an iceberg and sunk on its maiden voyage? I'm sure many people were asking on that morning, how could this have ever happened? This wasn't supposed to happen. How many people have walked, are walking, and will walk the face of this earth, trusting that their belief system, their rituals, and their routines, and their fulfillment of some obligations will guarantee them a place in heaven, only to find out that when they enter eternity, Jesus says this to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I'm sure these people will be asking, how could this have ever happened? This wasn't supposed to happen to me. And unfortunately, that question will haunt those people for eternity. Today we begin a new sermon series that I have titled, I Never Knew You. I chose that title because those are the exact words that Jesus says to anyone entering eternity who does not believe and trust in the one and only true gospel. In the context of Matthew 7:22, it appears that those who are rejected a place in heaven appear to be very much in tune with Jesus. According to the text, they prophesied in the name of Jesus. They cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And they performed many miracles in the name of Jesus. In today's church, to give an analogy, they would say that they gave their money in the name of Jesus. That they went on mission trips in the name of Jesus. That they served on the church board in the name of Jesus. If people do all these wonderful things, all these wonderful church-related things in the name of Jesus, why would Jesus ever, ever tell them, I never knew you? It is a fact that there are people and faiths and movements and belief systems out there that have all the appearances of being all about Jesus, when in reality they are not. And I will be speaking about those particular belief systems over the next several weeks. But today I want to talk about people, individuals. And I want to share with you this morning a story about a woman named Heather. So it's story time with Pastor Mike. 3 weeks ago, when I was working back at the plant, I ran into a young lady that I had never seen before. It is my personality to introduce myself to everyone that works in that building so I can get to know them and they can get to know me. So I saw this lady walking towards me, a lady probably in her 40s, and I said, excuse me, I've never seen you here before. My name's Mike. She said, well, my name's Heather. Very nice meeting you. We start having a great conversation. Which company do you work for, Heather? Because in our building, there's like 15 different companies. She told me which company she worked for. And we start talking about her duties and what she did and things like that. And I said, well, Heather, you know, it's kind of sad for me that I just got to know you. Because I said, in 2 weeks, I'm going to retire and I won't be here anymore. And she asked an obvious question. Well, Mike, what are you going to be doing with yourself with all your free time? And I said, well, I also pastor a church over in Nelson County, Beech Grove Church. And I like to be doing more work with the church and with the people over there. She said, oh, isn't that great? You'll be doing God's work. So we start talking a little bit more, and the conversation got back into her work and things like that. But she made that statement. Oh, good, you'll be doing more of God's work. So before I let her go, I had to ask her the obvious question. Heather, could I ask you a question? She says, sure. I said, are you a Christian? And she answered by saying this. I go to the Presbyterian Church in Middlebrook. And I don't smoke. And I don't drink. I have a little bit of problem with cussing. Now I'll just end the story right there, but we'll kind of get back to it. I never asked Heather what church she attended. I never asked Heather what her vices and her good points were. Heather never answered the question. I call your attention to the picture on the inside of your bulletin here this morning. I hope everyone has one. Let's look at this picture for a second. In this picture, you will see the faces of 8 different individuals. In this particular picture, there are 5 women and 3 men. These 8 people and others that we don't see in this picture are at a church service. We don't know who these people are. We don't know what church these people are attending. And we do not know what is in their hearts. But let's assume, just for a second, for the sake of me being able to develop my point here this morning, that these 8 individuals in this picture show up at this church every Sunday. They all enjoy coming to this particular church. They always sit in the same pew and in the same spot. Imagine that. During the service, they stand when they are told to stand. They sing when they are told to sing. They all place money in the basket when it comes around. They all hear the message from the preacher. And they shake the hands of the preacher when the service is over. It's the Sunday service routine, and their obligation has been fulfilled. They know this obligation well, and next Sunday, all 8 of these people will be right back in the same church, in the same pew, in the same spot. They will all stand, sing, give, hear, and shake hands one more Sunday. They do this every Sunday, and they do it very well. Again, for the sake of developing my point here this morning, let's say that one of these individuals is Heather, or someone just like Heather. But what is a Heather? Let's define a Heather here this morning. First, what Heather is not, okay? What Heather is not. Heather does not attend church to be an authoritative figure on the church board. Number 2, Heather does not attend church so she can network and push her secular business to other unsuspecting church people. 3, Heather does not attend church to display her magnificent talents of singing and playing a musical instrument. That's not Heather. What is a Heather? Heather is a person who attends church on a very regular basis. She sits in the same spot next to her friends who also sit in the same spot. She sings the songs. She stands when told. She gives when the basket comes around. She hears the message from the preacher and she shakes his hand when the church service is over. Heather understands church routine. She does church routine very well. Heather is proud of all of her religious actions. But Heather does not know how to answer the question, Heather, are you a Christian? Most churches have a Heather or 2 or 3 in the pews every Sunday. Many churches are full of Heathers. Some churches have nothing but Heathers. There was a time when I was a Heather. I was one of those people who did a very good job of warming the pew, never knowing how to answer the question. For 7 years, I was at my local Protestant church every Sunday. Like Heather, I understood church routine, and I did church routine very well. But I never, in those years, understood the saving gospel. If I was asked, if I was a Christian, my response would have been this. I go to Verona United Methodist Church, and I teach senior high Sunday school. To answer the question, yes or no, was impossible because I didn't know the answer. Had my time come for me to be removed from this earth, and I stood in judgment of Jesus, Jesus would have told me this, Mike, I never knew you. Depart from me. But my argument back to Jesus would have been this. Jesus, I attend church every Sunday. I sing the songs and I give my money. And I taught senior high Sunday school. And I didn't smoke and I don't drink. Doesn't this all mean something, Jesus, with your decision concerning my eternity? No. The verdict had been given. I never knew you. Depart from me. Protestant churches are filled with heathers. I was a heather. A heather, a person who leads a pretty exemplary life filled with good thoughts, good words, and good actions, which they believe merits them a place in heaven, but finds themselves being cast into the pits of hell on Judgment Day for failure to do the will of the Father, as Jesus says. So what is the will of the Father? To understand and trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the true gospel? I'm going to throw a little Latin on you. You've heard these words here before. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola Christo, sola scriptura, and sola Deo gloria. We are saved sola gratia, by grace alone, sola fide, through faith alone, sola Christo, by Christ alone, sola scriptura, through the scriptures alone, sola Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. Back on October 30th, 2016, I began a 9-week sermon series explaining the gospel. I don't have time right now to explain it all again, so I strongly suggest that you go to our church website and listen to the series as I explained it, I explained what the true gospel is. It took me 9 weeks to do that. It's great listening. It's life-changing if you don't know or understand the gospel. Back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus says that many will say to him on that day, who are the many? There's a lot of different groups of many. The first group of many are those Protestant pew warmers who know how to do church routine very well, but do not know or understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Was it because they were never taught? Possibly. Was it because they weren't listening? Possibly. I'm not the judge of that. I just know that there are heathers, and many of them, out there in many churches. So what I'm about to say, I say in all sincerity. If you this morning feel like you are a pew warmer and would like to know more about the true saving gospel message of Jesus Christ, I will be more than happy to sit with you as long as I need to when this service is over. Yes, there's a board meeting I need to go to. Let me tell you which one takes preference. It's not the board meeting. Your soul is far more important to me than any board meeting will ever be. Folks, the unexpected does happen. Hillary did lose, and the RMS Titanic did sink. And there will be no words more terrifying than a person to enter eternity thinking that they belong in heaven and hear Jesus say to them, "I never knew you." At that point, my friends, there's no turning back and making it right. There is no such thing as purgatory to purge our souls of our sins. I'm pleading with anyone in here or anyone that ever listens to this message, please do not be a Heather. Do not be a pew warmer. Do the will of the Father and trust the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very easy and it's very simple, and I would love to explain it to you. Let's pray.